way in here tonight, he said that he'll try to... Did it come off?
Yeah.
Wow. Only this part came off. Just hang on. I'll be with you in a second. Sorry about that. Pastor Monty told me on the way in here tonight, he said, we're going to have the business meeting at 7:15 because we want the people that work in the Awana ministry and the teen ministry and the young married ministry, the young singles ministry. Boy, got the right words here. And we want them to be able to come to the meeting. So we will have the business meeting right at 7:15. And I said, okay, great. And he said, so you probably need to make your message a little longer. So I have permission. So this is going to be fun. If you've been coming this summer, I've been doing a series in throughout the book of Proverbs, taking one subject in the book of Proverbs and kind of going whole hog, so to speak, on that subject. And this will be the last in that series because, well, technically, what? 7:15. Okay. 8:15. My bad. Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you for everybody correcting me. You're going to wish you hadn't done that in just about a second here. Because I decided this afternoon, or actually yesterday afternoon, I was thinking about a message I wanted to preach. And as usual, sometimes I want to preach a message. It's not the message the Lord wants me to preach. He changes my mind a lot of times. And I tend to try to go with the one He picks. It seems to work better that way. But I wanted to stay in the series in Proverbs. And I got to thinking about all the studies I've done throughout the book of Proverbs and 42, 43 years of ministry, and it's been a lot of sermons. But there's one overwhelming theme. I don't know if you know this, but there's one overwhelming theme in the book of Proverbs, and most of you would probably say that theme has to do with wisdom. And in an offside, in an indirect way, yes, it would have to do with wisdom, because the book of Proverbs is all about making wise decisions and doing wise things and being a righteous Christian and doing what pleases God. But there are several subjects that take up large portions of the book of Proverbs. Some of you know, for instance, like I said, wisdom would be one of those subjects. Riches or wealth would be one of those subjects. Obeying parents would be one of those subjects. My son, my son, my son. Over and over and over. Listen to the wisdom of the ages. But there's one particular subject that, to me, probably was the most important subject that I learned about in the book of Proverbs. Now, you got to remember, I started studying the book of Proverbs in 1973 when I got saved. And so I've been reading it for quite a long time. And it's been a very beneficial book in one particular area. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the book of Proverbs has about 900, if I'm right, I think it's 931 verses, okay, in the book of Proverbs. And over 200, a little more than 200 of those verses talk about the same subject. Now, this will scare you a little bit, but we're going to go through 60 of those verses tonight. So this will be one of those freight train messages. When I get going, it's going to be full blast and just hang on your head. So some of you may already know what the subject is. The subject has a lot to do with what you say. In fact, if you've got your Bible, open to the book of Proverbs. Go to chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. I'll just start with one verse and then I'll get into the message. Proverbs chapter 18. I want you to look at verse 21. Now, read it to yourself. Read the first part of the verse, especially to yourself, just for a second. Don't read it out loud. Just look at it. And I want you to think about this. According to the way that that verse is phrased, is this an important subject? Well, obviously it is, because the very first words in the verse are, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. We're not talking about small-time subjects. We're talking about a big subject. It's important what you say. In fact, I titled the message, What God Says About What You Say. Now, let me expand on that just a little before I get into the message. When I'm talking about what you say, and I think when the book of Proverbs is talking about what you say, that covers more than just what comes out of your mouth. That also would cover whatever you write down. Or, can I say it this way, whatever you would post, whatever you would put on the internet, those are things you say. Sometimes it's things, it's just the way you look. But it has an idea. The idea is what communications you give out is a subject you want to talk about. And like I said, the book of Proverbs is full of all those things. Now, you'll notice if you're looking at your notes, a couple things. Number one, you'll notice there's only one blank on the whole first section, and it's all filled in. Because I think those are things you already know. In fact, if you're looking for that blank, God's very concerned with our speech. You would agree with that, right? God is very concerned with our speech, whether it's verbal, whether it's written, whether it's electronic. God's very concerned about what we say. Now, there's several reasons for that. If you're looking at A there, God holds our words hold the power of good and evil. Proverbs 18:21. We just read it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And most of you would agree with me when I say things like our words hold the power of life and death. James said, out of the same mouth proceeds two different things, right? It's either blessings or cursings. With your words, you can heal or you can destroy. You can teach or you can tear down. You can witness or you can whine. Solomon understood that truth. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2, he said this, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, or uses knowledge in the right way, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. He said the same thing, same idea in Proverbs 18:7. He said, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the ensnare of his soul. So, I think most everybody would agree, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these points because you already know this, the words that you say, the communication that you give forth, is extremely important. It has everything to do with your testimony and how others perceive you. But more importantly with that, it has everything to do with your testimony and how others perceive Christ, because you're a representative of Him as a Christian. And I don't doubt that there's anybody in here that hasn't one time or another after you've been saved said something that you wish you could go back and unsay. Impossible to do, but we all do it. Amen? So our words hold the power of good and evil in what we say. Then B, just real quick, I'm just going to scan through these because I get to the main points here. Our words should spread truth and wisdom, not lies and foolishness. Proverbs 15, verse 7, the lips of the wise, I like this word, disperse knowledge. That is, it scatters or spreads or sows like a farmer sows seed. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of fools doeth not so. I get the same idea when you're spreading seed. Some of you know we bought a new house and we had to have a part of the land, there was a big hump in the middle of our backyard where an old barn used to sit, and we had the barn taken out, and then now there's this big hump that kind of sat on the angle. We have a hill, and it sat on the angle on the hill, and it just was, what's the good word, unsightly? It just looked horrible. Like what? So I had to have a guy come in with not a bulldozer, but what do you call the little thing? Skip loader. Yeah, a Bobcat skip loader, same thing. And he leveled all that out. Well, when he did that, guess what he did to my grass? I mean, it just ruined it. It was just dirt everywhere. And so I didn't have a sower, a thing to crank and sow. So I went out and scattered the seed by hand. And for the last couple of weeks, I've been watering that seed, and it has come up. It's about that tall now. It's a contractor's blend, so you get this early grass that comes up quickly. And I was looking at it today, and I realized something. I should have been a little more careful how I spread the seed, because I've got these huge, beautiful patches of green, and then some where there's a little bit of green, and then some where there's no green. I didn't disperse the seed as thoroughly as I wanted. And when you think about that verse, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. We spread knowledge. And by the way, we need to be spreading in every area of our life, not just with our children, not just in church, but where we work. Don't leave any bare spots. Okay? Proverbs 10, verse 20 and 21 says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous, I like this, feed many. But fools die for want of wisdom. So the concept's real simple. Our words should spread truth and wisdom, not lies and foolishness. And then see, our words should spread hope and health, not hate and pain. Proverbs 12:15, heaviness is in the heart of him. Heaviness is in the heart of man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it to glad. Isn't that the truth? Somebody can say something. If you're having a horrible day, the right word, the right phone call, the right card, sometimes just changes everything for you. And I think we need to remember that. Not just because what we want to hear from other people, but what we should be saying to other people. We should be encouragers. We should be the people who edify others, who try to lift them up, who try to bring them up. One of the reasons, one of the big part of my job is a visitation program, and I visit hospitals and nursing homes. I haven't been able to do it as much as I'd like to here recently. Although that door has just opened, I'm beginning to do that, getting to do that a lot more. And I can't tell you how much I find joy in doing it, but I can tell you the people that get the visits, they really like it. I was visiting Mary Mantooth the other day, and some of you know she's moved into Life's Journey Hospice Center now. And you talk about somebody starving for fellowship. my plan was to at least spend 15 minutes with her. Her plan was to spend an hour. It went 45 minutes. Her plan worked better than my plan. Every time, you ever try to leave somebody when they're just begging for fellowship and you can't find the out? And that's kind of what happened. I was like, I thought I had her like three times. I was like, well, Mary, let me pray for you. Before you pray. And she started a whole other series and I'm okay, all right. And so finally, I dropped the paper. I had brought her some bulletin, something I dropped and I picked up. Now I'm standing up. Right? So I'm going, right? That didn't work either. But, the longer I was there, the more I enjoyed it. And I got I think she enjoyed it. We had good fellowship. And she encouraged me and I encouraged her. A good word makes a heart glad. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 12:18, there's he that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. One of my favorite verses in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 3:27 says this, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Don't say you're going to, go do it. I get frustrated with myself, and I think you're probably the same way. I get frustrated with myself how many times I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, only for a week later to remember I didn't pray for them. You know what I try to do? When I say that, I try to immediately either write that down or pray for them at that moment. If I think about sending somebody a card, I go get a card. You know why? I'll get busy and I'll forget it. Do it when it's in the power of your hand, when you have the opportunity to do it, while you can. You know, there's going to come a point in time when you can't do it anymore. I remember when my grandmother, after I got saved, my grandmother was a Christian, and we had a lot of good talks. And there were many times I thought, I'm going to call Grandma and talk to her, even after I was in the ministry. We didn't agree on some theological issues, but we were very close. And I thought I was going to call her and, you know, talk to her, and just never got around to it. And I remember after she passed away, some of you have been there, you know, can't call her now. I dialed her number one time when I was in Michigan City. I dialed my Eagledale, and I dialed my grandmother's number. She'd passed away about 6 months earlier. But for some reason, I thought, I'm going to call Grandma. And I got that weird sound that means that number is no longer in service. And I kept thinking, boy, well, I missed a lot of times that I could have called her when it's in the power of my hand to do it. Then finally, D, real quick. Our words should spread righteousness and joy, not wickedness and grief. Proverbs 23:16, yea, my reins, or my heart shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. By the way, isn't that especially true when it's your children or your grandchildren? Isn't that a great thing to hear your children or your grandchildren speaking in a righteous way, witnessing to other people, making the right decisions as far as a basis for life? Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? I love to hear my granddaughters, one of my granddaughters in particular, I won't pick on them and say their name out loud, but one of my granddaughters in particular fancies herself to be a theologian. And I love to have discussions with her. I love it when we get into it. And she'll take one side, like she'll take the wrong side sometime and try to outdo me. And then the next conversation, I'll take the wrong side and try to outdo her. And it's a lot of fun. And it just thrills my heart to see that kind of an interest in the Word of God. I think I mentioned to some of you a couple of years ago, we went on vacation and we had all our family together, my son's kids and my daughter's children and both families together. And I'll never forget, we walked down the beach. We walked from the house we were at down to the pier and back. It's about a mile to the pier and a mile back. And I spent that whole time from one end of the beach to the other end of the beach talking to my grandchildren about evolution and about creation. And they were just pelting me with questions, one after the other. And everybody else was playing, and the two oldest grandchildren, they were in this conversation. And I kept thinking, yeah, they're not going to ask. For almost an hour, that's all we talked about. You're talking about doing your heart good, to see that their interest, and not only that they had the right interest, but they were on the right side. Yea, my heart shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, I like this phrase, how good it is. Somebody says something at the right time when you need it. And everybody here probably can think about a time like that when somebody said something when you really needed somebody to say something. When you really need that pat on the back and that encouragement, that's that word in due season, how good that was. Proverbs 16:13, righteous lips are a delight of kings, and they love him that love right. Now, we could go on and on and on about those kind of verses. And the Bible has a lot to say about what God thinks about your speech. Now, here's the second thing I want to talk about, and this is where we're going to center on tonight, okay? That was the introduction. It only took me about 10 minutes to introduce that, which is short for me. Here's the message. God also has a lot to say about your silence. While it's important that we speak up, it's important that we witness, and it's important that we encourage others, and it's important that we communicate truth to other people, it is just as important sometimes to keep your mouth shut. Now, I know you don't like to hear me say it that way, but that sometimes is the only way I could communicate truth. When I was going back to college and doing the counseling session and getting my degrees for counseling, I got in trouble all the time because they just said I was blunt. And sometimes I get in trouble for that because in counseling I can be very blunt. I'll just tell you what I think, or better that, I'll just tell you what the Bible says. Well, the Bible says this, and here's what you should do. And people are like, you could have put that nicer. I could have, but it would have taken me a long time. And sometimes I have to remember, Morris, slow down. Don't just spit stuff out just because you know stuff. Take into consideration the other people. So God's concerned about our silence. Let me just give you a few verses, okay? You've got this list on there. I'm going to run through this list, and then I'm going to go through the next 10 things real quick. So Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, the Bible says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not, or there doesn't lack, there's no lack of, there wanteth not sin. But he, now listen to this phrase here, he that refraineth his lips is wise. Sometimes it's better not to say something. I've said this many times, the older I get, the quieter I get. I have a habit that I say a lot of times, the staff sometimes makes fun of me. We'll be having discussions as a staff, and whether it's something important or something unimportant, a lot of times they'll get joking around, and in the middle of it, I'll do this. Never mind. Because sometimes it's wise not just let it go. Just keep your mouth shut. And that's what that verse says. In the multitude of words, there's no lack of sin. It wanteth no sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Same concept, Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life, and he that opened wide his lips shall have destruction. Anybody ever been there? Spouted off when you shouldn't have spouted off and found out, boy, I wish I hadn't have said that. I think we've all been there. How about this? Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. He saves them. He keeps them from coming out of his mouth. And a man of understanding has an excellent spirit. I found this to be true. A man can say a whole lot without saying a whole lot. Right? Just because you say a lot of words doesn't mean you said a lot of good things. And you have to be careful what you say. Proverbs 11:12. Same idea. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. He keeps silent. There's a lot of verses like that. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. I think that's where Abraham Lincoln got his saying. Some of you remember what Abraham Lincoln said? Abraham Lincoln said, it's better to remain silent and let people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And by the way, if you take some time and you look at a lot of the things Abraham Lincoln said, it's just a quote of the Bible. I mean, he just took verses out of the Bible and re-quoted them. I do the same thing. And it's a good way to communicate truth. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, I used to quote this to my son all the time. He that keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Right? So, no question does the Bible have a lot to say about silence. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you 10 times that you ought to keep your mouth shut. If you're looking for that blank, that's exactly, I know that's a rude way to say it, but I looked at it several times yesterday. I looked at it again today when I was reviewing the notes, and that's just the best way to say it. Sometimes it's best just to keep that mouth shut. Now, let me add to that, and sometimes it's better not to write that down. And sometimes it's better not to post that. And sometimes it's better not to send that text. One thing I like about texting, I don't know if you do this, I do it all the time. Somebody will send me a text, and real quick, I'll type in, you know, the one finger deal. I'm a one finger. I'm not this guy. I can't do that yet. So I'm doing this. And I'll get it all written and look at it and go, delete. Because when I read back, I look at it and think, boy, that could be taken a lot of different ways. I wonder if they'll take it through. And I like texting because I get time to really think about what I'm saying. And I almost like texting. Well, some of you know me. You know I don't like talking on the phone. I get this all the time. People will call me on the phone, and somewhere in the conversation, this statement always comes out. Is everything all right? It's something about the way I talk. I don't like talking on the phone because I can't see your face. And I don't know how you're reacting to what I'm saying. And I can't read the look on you, so I don't know what you're really saying. And so I'm very short and very not. So, but I like texting because I can take some time and qualify what I'm saying. Basically, I like face-to-face the best. But you have to be careful face-to-face because of what you can say. So God's very concerned about our speech. God's very concerned about our silence. So when are the 10 times? Number one, I shouldn't have to say this to Christians, but I'm going to say it because I found that many Christians need it. I found out in counseling a lot of times that Christians need to hear this. You need to keep your mouth shut when you're tempted to lie. Now, you say, well, Brother Morris, this is a Baptist church and we're all good Christians. We all know that. Really? Because I don't know how many times I've had people do their best in counseling to justify the reason they lied. Well, the reason I lied, and whatever that reason is, whatever that justification is, it always falls short. Say, try to explain. You'd understand if you were there. But Proverbs 19:5 makes it very clear, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. In fact, it's kind of interesting to me that Proverbs 19:5 is somewhat repeated in the same chapter, just four verses later. Proverbs 19:9 says, a false witness, same thing, shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters slander is a fool. You think I'm blunt? I think Solomon was more blunt than I was and right to the point. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19 says this, The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying lips, verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. I don't know how many times when I'm doing marriage counseling, I'll have somebody ask me this question. Well, sometimes, you know, it's best not to tell the truth to your wife or your husband. I don't buy that, by the way. I tell the truth. When we first got married, I will tell you this, it caused some problems in our marriage. Because I'm blunt sometimes even with my wife. And yes, I even answered the question, does this look good? It didn't work real well when I first got married, our first year together, our senior year in Bible college. Becky came out, I don't remember what the outfit looked like, but she asked me a question, do you think this looks good together? And I said no. And she just stood there looking at me. I thought, well, what's she looking at me like that for? She asked me if it looked good. It doesn't. So I told her no. Isn't that what you'd say? I assumed that. I found out later that that's not what all men say. But I said no. And she started crying. And I was like, what are you crying for? You didn't like my outfit. Well, you asked me if I liked it. I didn't like it. What do you want me to say? I like it? You want me to lie to you? And you know what she said? Yes. And I said, no. Now, 44 years later, she asked me that still. And I still go, I don't think so. But I'll tell you this, I found this to be true. If she comes out and she says, you like this outfit? And I said, wow, that's nice. You know what she thinks? That's nice. You know why? Because I'm honest. Now, I don't know if you could pull that off or not. I pulled it off. It took me 44 years to get it right. But I really think it's best way to go. I tell my wife if I don't like the food. She tells me if she doesn't like my haircut. She tells me a lot of things she doesn't like, by the way, now that I think about it. But I think that's good. I think it's an honest and open relationship. And I think sometimes we as Christians try to justify our lie. We think it's okay in certain circumstances. Can I tell you what? That's not biblical. I just read you four verses that give, and I could read you more verses in the Old Testament, more verses in the New Testament. Lying is an abomination to God. Tell the truth. Now, sometimes it might be wise not to say anything, but it's never wise to lie. Here's number two. Keep your mouth shut when you know that you're trying to deceive somebody. Now, I had to add that in because I hear this a lot too. Well, at least I didn't lie. Really? You obviously don't know anything about the truth of the Scripture because let me read you some verses. The thoughts of the righteous are right, the Bible says, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So when you deceive, whose counsel are you using? Where'd that wisdom come from? Seriously, I know a lot of Christians who think it's okay to deceive as long as you don't lie. I just let them think that was true. Right? But I didn't say that. That's what they thought. No, but you intentionally tried to deceive them to get them to think that, right? That's the counsels of the wicked. Proverbs 12:17 says, "He that speaketh the truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Proverbs 12:20, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counsels of peace is joy." Proverbs 14:8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." And in case you think that deceit is better than lying, maybe you better memorize Proverbs 14:25. "A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." You know what the Bible says deceit is? It's lying. By the way, think about the definition. When you're lying, you're trying to get somebody to believe something that's not true. Right? Is that an accurate statement? When you're lying, the point of the lie is to get somebody else to believe something that's not true. Everybody agree with that? Yes? All right, now, let me define deceit. When you're deceiving, wait. You're trying to get somebody to believe something that's not true. It's the same thing. Don't kid yourself. If you're trying to deceive somebody, keep your mouth shut. By the way, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to go a little further. I think deceit is worse than lying, because deceit takes subtlety. And deceit takes, craft. You really are thinking about it. You're really trying, manipulating somebody else to think something that's wrong. And to me, that's worse than just an outright lie. You're trying to make a fool of them. So, if you're tempted to lie, if you're tempted to deceive, as a Christian, again, you should know this, keep your mouth shut. Don't do it. 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 You will not, twice in the same chapter, Proverbs 19, you will not be unpunished. You will not get away with it. The lie will come back to bite you. Show of hands. Honest show of hands. Now, if I say that, you've got to participate. How many of you have lied and the lie came back to bite you? That should be just about everybody in here. I don't know how many times as a teenager, I said something that wasn't true to my parents, and I thought they had, some kind of extrasensory perception. They figured it out later on. Well, mainly because I really wasn't a good liar. It always comes back. You cannot hide the truth. The truth will always be manifest. So, not good to lie, not good to deceive. So if you're thinking about that, keep your mouth shut. Here's number three. Number three, real quick. When your words are intentionally designed to hurt another person, keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 26:24. "He that hateth dissembleth," or disguises the truth, "he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him." Connected to the same concept. Proverbs 26:26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Proverbs 11:9. "A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Every now and then, somebody will say something to me like this: "Well, it's a free country. I can say what I want." Well, I will say this. You do have the right to speak freely, but you do not have the right as a Christian to speak carelessly. You need to be careful what you say about other people. Again, basic biblical concepts, but concepts that you need to be reminded of all the time. I'd like to go off on a little tangent here. I'm going to just mention something, but I won't go off on a tangent. Revenge is for the Christian is not biblical. Revenge belongs to God. If you don't believe that, read the last part of Romans chapter 12. Well, I think it's verses 17 through 19, somewhere in there, 19 or 20. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." But it's interesting to me, that same concept came from Proverbs chapter 20. "Say not thou, I will recompense." I used to quote that to my son all the time, too. You're not even supposed to say that you'll get them back. You ever said that? Uh-huh. Oh, you did that? Well, I'll get you back. Bible says, don't say that. "Say not that I will recompense." Proverbs 20, verse 22. Don't say that. You're not even supposed to say it. Not only are you not supposed to do it, you're not even supposed to say it. You're not supposed to think that's the way as a Christian. If somebody does you evil as a Christian, what is your response? Remember the three levels of response? I mentioned it several times in other sermons. The devil's level is what? If somebody does you good, you give them evil. And if somebody does you evil, you give them evil. The world's response is a little different. The world says if somebody does you good, well, you do them good. And if somebody does you evil, well, you do evil to them. What's the Christian response? If somebody does you good, you do good. And if somebody does you evil, you do good. That's a biblical response. Revenge is not for the Christian. How you talk about others and how often you talk about them reveals more about you than it does them. And have you ever thought about that? We all probably, you're all like me, you probably know somebody who constantly criticizes, talks down other people. And if you're like me, I don't think much of that person. It's not the people that they talk about that I'm worried about, it's them. It's like, man, what is your problem? Don't be that person. Watch what you say. When your words are designed to hurt somebody else, keep your mouth shut. Number four, when you haven't heard the whole story or haven't taken time to consider carefully what you have heard, keep your mouth shut. When I was talking about, I talked about going back into getting the counseling degree, the main verse that they pounded in our heads, Proverbs 18:13. Gary, you remember, you probably remember this because they probably did the same thing when you were there. Proverbs 18:13, he that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. Until you know the whole story, until you've got the whole information, don't answer. Now, I have to be honest with you, this is one I struggle with. Because I know a lot of Scripture, and I've done a lot of counseling, and I have a couple come into my office and they want marriage counseling. They'll tell me the problem, and immediately I have the answer. Right? Or I have the verse. And I want to say, and I just want to blast them. Or somebody will have a drug addiction problem, or somebody will have a problem with a friend, and you know they'll say, well, my friend and I are, you know, we're struggling. Well, you need to go to them, and words just start coming out. And I start giving advice. I haven't even heard the whole thing. I don't even know what the situation is. I don't know the whole story, and I'm just going on. Dr. Smith, one of the professors in the where I went for counsel training, he used to say this. He said, ask so many questions that they think they will think you're ignorant. Because about their life, you are ignorant. And so I have to take my time, and I have to go through the issue. What's going on? What happened? What was your response? What do you think you should do? And then, when I got them to the point where now I'm interested in your life, now they'll listen to what I have to say. It's not me. A lot of pastors, by the way, a lot of counselors are kind of like doctors. Here, take this and call me in the morning. Except we don't give out pills, we give out verses. Here, read this verse and go do this. That's not really, really counseling. That's just spitting out words. So make sure that you're trying to help other people. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous, I like this, studieth to answer. You think about it before you speak about it. You really take in consideration. I used to tell my kids this, you don't know the whole story until you have heard both sides. And after that, you still don't know the whole story. Isn't that the truth? You don't know the whole story until you heard both sides, and then after that, you still don't know the whole story. Last Saturday, I had a guy call me, a friend of mine from another state, a guy I knew a long time ago, and he's having some marriage problems. And he went through the whole thing, and here's what's going on, and here's what's going on, and here's what she did, and here's what I did, and here's what she did. And I listened for about 45 minutes. And at the end of the conversation, near the end of the conversation, he said this. He said, don't you think I ought to do this? And I said, I don't know what you ought to do. He's like, what do you mean? I just told you the situation. I said, no. You told me the situation. I haven't ever talked to her. I don't know what's really going on. He goes, you think I'm lying? I said, no, I don't think you're lying. I think you're seeing what you hear, what you see, and you're giving. Until I talk to her, I can't give you advice because I really don't know what's going on. And he was a little, well, frustrated. You know, like, I've talked to you for an hour and you're not even going to help me. I said, well, there are some things I can do and I can tell you can do. What he wanted me to do was tell him what she should do. And I said, well, I'm not talking to her. I'm talking to you, and I can only tell you what you can do. And he's like, well, tell me what I can tell her to do. I said, I can't tell you that because I don't know anything that she's done. I just told you everything she did. I said, you told me. She didn't tell me. I can't answer the question. We finally prayed together, and he called me the next morning. They had separated. I'll say it that way. And he said, you know, I thought about what you said. And I prayed about it. And he said, can I ask you one more question? I was like, yes. Should I just go home? Yes. You should, which is what I told him the night before, what you should do. I said, you should go home and you should get it right. And you should get on your knees in front of her and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong about what I was wrong about. And he said, you really think I ought to do that? And I said, yes. And he did. I haven't heard back from him yet. I'm a little worried. But don't go off half-cocked. I will tell you this. I don't know a lot about firearms, but I'm pretty sure the gun that goes off half-cocked rarely hits its target. Is that right? You would know, John. Okay? That's not the concept. Think about it. Study to answer. Number five. Now, number five is one, again, that I pounded in the head of my kids. Remain silent. Keep your mouth shut when you're meddling in other people's business. And I meant, that's not my word. That's the Bible word, meddling. Don't be a meddler. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calleth for strokes. He gets involved in other people's matters. And by the way, when you get involved in other people's matters without being asked to get involved in other people's matters, 9 times out of 10, you only make it worse. One of the hardest things for me to learn as a parent was when my kids grew up, got married, not to give advice until they asked for it. Now, when they ask for it, buddy, guns are loaded and I just... I mean, it comes out. But there's so many times... How many grandparents I got in here? Okay. There's so many times I'll go, I wouldn't do that. Mm-mm. They didn't ask me. And unless it's dangerous to the child, I'm not going to say... I don't know how many times I went... And I don't know how many times I looked at Becky and went, be quiet. Don't go meddling in other people's business. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. He that passeth by and meddles with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Here's something I used to teach my kids, okay? Here's a simple statement you should teach your kids or your grandkids, or in some cases, your great-grandkids. I say this to my daughter all the time. Everything is not your business. I don't know how many times I've said that. That's not your business. You know, we'd be sitting at dinner table and she said, well, I'll tell you what happened to the teacher and I heard that that's not your business. I don't want to hear about it. What do you mean you don't want to hear? I don't want to hear about it. It's not your business. One thing I hate about Facebook, everybody tells me their business. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. In fact, there have been a lot of times I've found out things that I wish I hadn't known. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. I like this. Maybe you haven't read this before. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says this. Study. Listen, I'm not making this up. You can look it up for yourself. Study to be quiet. Isn't that a great statement? Study to be quiet and do your own business. That's not a modern translation. That's the King James Version. Study to be quiet and do your own business. Can you find any better advice for teenage kids and young adults? That is a tremendous statement. Study to be quiet. Do your own business. Number six. When you're about, keep your mouth shut when you're about to boast about yourself. Oh, I hate to say this, but that was a big problem of mine growing up. My wife solved that really fast. You know what she told me one day? You don't have to top every story. If somebody talked about the scars that they had, how many times it shows, I got more scars. I would take clothes off to show you scars because I got more scars. I've been hurt more than anybody. I've broken this and broken that, broke my nose 2 or 3 times, broke my finger, I don't know how many times, and I've done that and try to top your... Guys really have a problem with this. You caught a fish? I caught a bigger fish. I got pictures. I would say I shot the biggest deer, but... Yeah. That's not going to happen. Okay. Listen to the verses. Proverbs 14:3. And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. I was reading this one night, and we were talking about this issue one night in our family devotions, and I read that verse. And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. My son said, preserve them from what? And without thinking, I said, it'll preserve them from getting beat by their own rod. The rod of pride, the more you speak a rod of pride, the more that rod's going to come back to beat you. Amen? Proverbs 27:2, let another praise thee, not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Proverbs 25:27, it's good not to eat honey, for men to search their own glory, it's not glory. When you did more, been more, done more, better, you know, stronger, faster, that's not glory. That didn't bring you glory. That brings you nothing but shame to brag about yourself. Proverbs 30, verse 32, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Write this down. Here's a little statement you can remember. Humility is the only sure way to avoid humiliation. Write it down. Humility is the only sure way to avoid humiliation. Because if you lift yourself up in pride, sooner or later you're going to come crashing down. Humility is the only sure way to avoid humiliation. Number seven. I've got to get this done. Oh, that's right. I got an extra time. I can go a little further. Here's another time to keep your mouth shut. When you're about to make a mock at sin. When you think sin's funny and you want to laugh about it and joke about it. Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward or a perverted mouth. And Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous knoweth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked spreadeth frowardness or perverseness. When you're making fun of sin, making light of sin, and sinful practices and perverted living, you think that's funny. There's nothing funny about it. I tell you what, you need to work in an addiction center. You need to go downtown and work at the Good News Mission, and you need to meet some of the lives that have been destroyed by sinful practices, and you won't laugh about it anymore. Can I tell you something? There's nothing funny about a drunkard. You know, we like to make jokes around, and we mock them. There's nothing funny about that. Nothing funny about an alcoholic. Nothing funny about a drug addict. Nothing funny about somebody involved in fornication. Nothing funny about any sexual sins. Nothing humorous about it. You get that from watching too much TV. You don't get that from reading the Bible. And if you think that's funny, something's wrong with you spiritually as well as them. Getting a little more serious now? I mentioned earlier, I got on Facebook mainly to keep up with my grandkids, and I tell you, I am shocked at what some people... I'll just say it. Some people have lost their testimony for Christ with me. I see some of the things they post, some of the things they say. I'm like, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? Do you not see the whole world sees that? You need to be careful what you're putting out there, folks. And some people, they get all upset and they think it's funny that somebody like Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. I don't celebrate that. You say, aren't you happy we might get a more conservative Supreme Court justice? Yes, but I'm not happy the woman died. For all I know, she died and went to hell. I don't think anything's funny about that at all. And I don't think any jokes about it. Don't send me jokes about it. Let's just say it that way, okay? I don't think that's humorous. Only a fool mocks at sin. And only a fool mocks at a sinful lifestyle that ends in death and hell. It's not humorous. Number eight. Keep your mouth shut when all you're going to do is keep your mouth shut when all you're going to do is criticize. I put the word add there because later this afternoon I said, and you need to add complain. Keep your mouth shut when all you're going to do is criticize or complain. Proverbs 17:20, he that hath a perverted or forward heart findeth no good. And he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Can I tell you something? I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. And I've met a lot of people in 44 years of ministry, talked to a lot of people, whether it's at the altar, whether it's in my office or in their home. I've talked to a lot of people. I'll give you a little secret. Maybe you don't know this. Everybody has something to complain about. Everybody has physical pain in one way or another. Everybody has money problems. Everybody struggles with another person in some way. Everybody has trouble. We live in a wicked and an evil and a sinful world. And it takes no special talent to be a critic of it. I wrote this when my kids were young, and I think it's still true today. Most any dog can sit and howl and bark and bite and scratch and growl, and any fool with half a brain can find a reason to complain. Just because you can complain. Quit complaining about the government. Go vote. Do something about it. Quit complaining about COVID. I'm guilty. I got out of my truck today. At lunchtime, I ran over to Lowe's to buy something, and I got out of my truck and had to park way out in the parking lot, got all the way through the door, and everybody knows what happened. What happened? I got my stupid mask. And I grumbled to myself and griped all the way back. Oh, I can't believe it. I'm so tired of this. Fortunately, nobody heard me but God. I got my mask. You heard me? I got my mask, I put it on, I'm walking back, and I'm like, well, that really wasn't too bad, and you're the only one who forgot anything. It was all you. And the Holy Spirit began to work in my mind. I was like, boy, I'm going to have to listen to my own message tonight. And it's true. It's so easy to complain and gripe, and it's so easy to find stuff, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't take any special talent at all. Number nine. Keep your mouth shut when you realize you're speaking to a fool. Now, let me qualify that. Proverbs 23:9 says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." But my favorite set of verses, I struggle with these verses for a long time. Maybe you have too. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5 say this. One verse, verse 4 says this, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like him." The very next verse, the same verse, right, but the next verse. "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." So, there's an error in the Bible. One says, answer not a fool. The other says, to answer a fool. I used to struggle with that. Well, why does it say that? And then I wrote this down one day. I finally figured it out. I will argue with the man who's looking for an answer, but I'm not going to answer the man who's looking for an argument. There's a difference. Several years ago, it's been probably 20 years ago, Dean was in Bible college, and he'd come home for Christmas, and we were at Eagledale, and I was preaching. And that afternoon, and we had planned a big family thing after the service was over, and so we got ready to leave, and I don't even remember what I was preaching about, but I remember walking in the back foyer, and a guy stopped me, and he began to ask me questions about what I was preaching about, and he wanted to argue with me. And so I was like, okay, you want to argue with me about my message? Let's get it on. And so I was arguing, and Dean came in, and he watched us for a little while, you know, like, okay. All right, so then he left. And then I realized, you know, probably the whole family's out there by the cars waiting on me. And so I was trying to get out of it. Dean comes back and he looks for a minute and you could see him getting frustrated. Like, and he goes, "Dad, everybody's waiting." And I go, "Okay, I'll be there in a minute." So finally, this went on for about 15, 20 minutes. Dean comes in and he looks at the guy and he looks at me and he says this, "Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." 2 Timothy 2:23. "Let's go, Dad." And the guy said something, and my son turned around, verse 24 says this, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." We're leaving. The guy didn't want an answer. He wanted an argument, and I was giving him one. You know what? My son was right. I wasn't accomplishing anything. He had his mind made up. He wasn't hearing a word I said. He was a fool who didn't believe the Scripture, who didn't believe the truth of what he heard. He wanted to give me some, what he thought, logical argument against the biblical argument. Why am I wasting my time? We walked out that day, and I remember we'd get on the parking lot and I said, "That's good, son. You did that good. I appreciate that." And I did appreciate it. Sometimes you have to argue with people. You have to discuss truth. I'll argue with anybody who wants to know what the truth is, but I'm not going to argue with people just for the sake of an argument. Some of you need to learn that on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Why are you arguing with fools? They don't want to hear what you've got to say. They want to condemn you and condemn the Scripture. I got no time for that. If you don't believe the Bible, our argument's going to be very short. Amen? One last thing, and probably I saved the worst for last because it's the hardest for me. Keep your mouth shut when you're angry. I can hit some amens on that one, huh? Proverbs 14, 16, and 17 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rages." Now, listen, you've got to listen to some of the phrases here. The fool rages and is confident. I know what I'm saying and I meant to say it and I don't care if they like it or not. That's exactly what it's saying. A fool rages and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Chapter 19, verse 11. "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger and his glory to pass over transgression." Deferreth it. Waits it till later. Puts it off. I cannot tell you how many times I've said something in anger that I later regretted. I've written something in anger that I've let. If somebody writes something on your Facebook account or on your Twitter or sends you a text and you get angry, don't answer. Pray. Stop. Think. Consider. Study to answer before you answer. Because if you answer when you're angry, I guarantee you your answer 9 times out of 10 is going to be a wrong answer. It may even be the same answer when you get through, but it'll be said in the right way instead of the way you say it. Temper never helps anybody. I can't tell you how many hurtful, foolish things I've said in a moment of anger that for months, years later, I regretted. Wished I could change. I'm going to end tonight. Some of you may have heard this story before. I thought it was a great story. It's an old Jewish proverb. It's about a man who went around town slandering the rabbi. And constantly saying bad things about him. And then one day, he realized all the things he said were unfair and unkind and even untrue. And so he goes to the rabbi's house and he begs for forgiveness. And the rabbi told the man he would forgive him if he would do two things. He said, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to go home and find a feather pillow. He's like, okay. And he said, I want you to take the feather pillow and I want you to go up to yonder mountain and I want you to rip it open in the wind. He goes, okay, what's the second thing? He said, I'll tell you the second thing after you do the first thing. So the guy went home. He thought, that's the strangest thing I ever heard. Climbed the mountain, took the feather pillow, ripped it open in the wind. And you can imagine what happened to the feathers. I mean, they went everywhere. So he came back down from the mountain. He went to the rabbi's house. He said, I did the first thing. Now, will you forgive me? He said, no. Now you must do the second thing. He said, what's the second thing? He said, go back up to the mountain and gather all those feathers. The guy said, that's impossible. And the rabbi said, precisely. I can forgive you, but you need to understand it's impossible to repair the damage that you've done. You can't go back and unsay what you've said. I like what the great Puritan preacher said. Richard Baxter once said this. It was one of my favorite Baxter sayings. Baxter said this, it's best to remain silent until what you have to say is better than the silence. Well, that hit me hard the first time I read it, and I don't know how many times the Holy Spirit brought that back to my heart when I did this. And I think sometimes, as Christians, you need to be encouraged, pushed, beat on to talk, to witness, to speak. But there are a lot of times you just need to shut up. Keep that mouth shut and don't say what you're thinking. Both are parts of wisdom. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to control our tongues. It's true, you want us to witness. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs to hear the gospel and needs to hear the truth. And Lord, help us ever be ready to do that. But at the same time, Lord, help us be wise in what we say. Lying, deceiving, talking bad about other people, whining, complaining. All these things are things that come out of our mouths. And truly, Lord, they come out of our mouths because they're providing a harbor for them in our hearts. And I pray that you'll help us to examine our words closely and make sure that our testimony is Christ-like. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks about us. It's what they think about you. Help us to be a good, strong witness for Christ by what we say and sometimes by what we don't say. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, we're going to take a few moments to pray here before we end our service tonight. We won't belabor the point. I pulled a preacher there, made the mic pop.